Thank you, Senor. Well, on this last day of March, that's hard to imagine. We start April this week. Huh. Birthdays galore, including mine. And I want you to know I'm not older yet. I won't be old until the 13th. Open your Bible, please, to the book of 1 John. In chapter 4, we are moving through. We've got a couple of more messages in chapter 4 that I've outlined. And then we get into chapter 5, and there's about four of those left. And by the time we finish that, we will have started a series that is going to be very basic. And I guess it's because of all the war going on, but I'm going to call it Paris Island Boot Camp. Y'all know what Paris Island is? That's where the Marines train. And I understand that's one of the hardest trainings that there is. But we're going to look at boot camp. That's where they teach you the basics. You just do the basics there at Paris Island. You don't really get into the Marine Corps until you finished Paris Island. Then you start learning. But we're going to look at the boot camp principles. We're going to look at some of the very basic principles of the Word of God and Christianity. And the reason I'm going to do it is partly because of the message today, test the spirits. I'm told that Treasury agents, when they study to be experts in counterfeit, they don't spend a lot of time on counterfeit money. They spend a tremendous amount of time knowing what the real money looks like. My bride, of 50-plus years now, can tell the difference in a canned Diet Coke and a bottled Diet Coke and a fountain Diet Coke. And you can pour them in neutral-looking glasses. She can sit there and tell you which one's which. You know why? Because she spent so much time with the fountain Diet Coke, she knows that's the real thing. And isn't that what Coca-Cola wants you to know? It's the real thing. So she knows what Diet Coke is. In order for us to be able to ward off the teachings of that are not of Christ, I'll say it in the positive, we need to know what those teachings are. We're going to look at the doctrine of God. We'll look at the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We'll look at why we have church and why it's important to have church. We're going to look at, we're going to look at the very nature of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look a little bit at the Trinity. And you'll say, well, that's kind of like what we used to do over at the other place back years ago. Well, it pretty much is. But it's going to be new and updated material. So I just have to put that down on record, that we are going to look at the basics. What does it mean to be a born-again believer? What does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean, the Lord's Supper, which we're going to take today? All that kind of thing. But today, in chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1. Well, we'll just read it. Here we go. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, stop right there for a moment. When John talks about spirit, he's not talking about a ghost. He's not necessarily talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about those who proclaim that they know something. Teachers, men and women who will teach in the church, or they teach in a school, or it doesn't matter where they teach, but test them to see if they know what they're doing. I had an old principal that said, we're going to teach, we're going to test, we're going to reteach, we're going to retest. I thought that was so crazy, but by the time he got finished, I'd learned his little phrase. Teach, test, reteach, retest. You want to make sure that the people who are imparting information to you are imparting good information. If I go to a cardiologist, I want that cardiologist to be able to know where the vessels are in my heart, how he can get to them, and if they're messed up, how he can treat them. I want a good cardiologist. I want a good brain doctor. I need one really bad. I'm losing some of it, so I need to. But you want somebody who knows what they're talking about, more especially in the realm of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, the things of God. So there are teachers, all right? They've gone out into the world. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. That ought to clue you in. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And he says it with Holy Spirit accuracy. The power of the Spirit of God directed these men who wrote these books such that every word is true. You'll say, well, which translation is true? Well, the originals are definitely inspired by God, and we can depend on the Scripture to teach us truth. Move on to verse 3. And we see this, every spirit, now get it, that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Those who are opposed to Christ. And then we go to verse 4, which says, little children. And here is his breather. All right, little children, you are from God. I can say to you, congregation, you are from God. You've overcome them, false teachers. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When we come to understanding what the truth is, we are better able to see what untruth is. There is a Christian rapper. You'll say, what in the world are you doing quoting a Christian rapper? Is there such a thing? Well, apparently so. I found this the other day. One of my chaplains clued me into it. We were talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. He saw the bulletin, and I had that picture on the front. You remember there? And had that wolf right in the middle of all those sheep, dressed up like a sheep. And he said, you need to listen to this. So I listened. His name is Shai, S-H-A-I, Lynn. Never heard of him until last week. Shai, S-H-I-L-I-N-N-E. He has a song called False Teachers. And the S in the word false is like a dollar sign. The S in the word teacher is dollar sign. False Teachers by Shai Lynn. And he critiques the prosperity gospel. Not only does he critique it, but he calls names. He names names. Now, I'm not going to name the names this morning, but I'm going to read you a few of the lines, and I'm not going to go, I'm not going to try that, on you because I'd probably make a fool of myself. But here's what it says. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God. Money is. Jesus is not a means to an end. The gospel is. He came to redeem us from sin, that the message forever I'll yell, if you're living your best life now, you're headed to hell. I thought, wow. Read on. Turn off TBN, that channel's overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful. They're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. And I ran out of breath. But it's that away. And he goes on to name many of the highfalutin doctor television personalities. And he is particularly targeting those other countries, not necessarily the U.S. I decided I'd listen to the song. I did. And then I thought I'd listen to an interview with him. I did. And I'm not a whole lot smarter, but I do know this. He is really upset that all of these people are making bukus of money in foreign countries sharing a prosperity gospel that does nothing but make them wealthy and deceive those who are listening to their programs. There's more money made overseas than there is in the United States in religious broadcasting. I was blown away. I couldn't believe all of that. But that's the way it is. So here we go. When you call out and identify false teachers, it's not fun, and it's not popular. I'll guarantee you. It's dangerous at times because you don't know who in your congregation is sold out to some of these folks. Now, I do in here because we only have, what, 300-400 of you here, basically. So I know you better, but in a larger congregation, you never know. And if you get up and say, I think that Ricky Hargrave is a blasphemer, he's a fool, he's not teaching the truth, you need to listen to me. And for only $20, I'll tell you his sins. Well, hey, many of you might go pool your money. But I don't know what he's going to be able to tell you, except that I'm an idiot. And I don't see where that's a sin. I just see where that's a fallacy. But you go on. You see what I'm saying? There are some people out here who absolutely prefer to deceive people than to teach them the truth. Now, I'm not talking about algebraic truth, dearest. I'm not talking about historical truth or psychological truth. I'm talking about the biblical truth. There is a biblical truth, and by the time I get through here, maybe you'll see it. John makes it clear, just as he did in chapter 2, verses 18 and following, the apostle draws a contrast between true and false believers, between the world of God. Two different areas. So here are the questions I want to ask this morning. Are you following false prophets? Are you? What about the books you read? What about the magazines you check into? What about the TV shows you watch? Are we following false prophets? John says, little children, don't believe every spirit. Just because they have a glossy book cover, like our friend down in Houston. Just because they have a high-class television program, like our South American, who they call South American Billy Graham, Benny Hinn. just because they are very polished and play a great piano, their message is wrong. They have a wrong message. And we're going to see that. The word test here, well, I'm going to read it. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they're God. Believe and test are both imperatives calling for continuous action. In other words, keep on testing. Keep on checking them out. One of the finest books I ever read was a book by Clark Pinnock, P-I-N-N-O-C-K. It was on the inerrancy of Scripture, and he was spot on. About 8 years later, I saw another book by Clark Pinnock, and I bought it, and I read it, and I was astounded. He had denied inspiration of Scripture. The guy that wrote the book was the one then that wrote another book denying his first book. And I thought, how can you change horses in the middle of the stream? But he did. And then in a magazine article about 6 or 8 years later, he had recounted his middle book and had gone back to the first book. I wouldn't buy anything else from him. I'm just not going to, because a wishy-washy man or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if he writes such a powerful book here, and he changes here, and then he tries to go back here, which one are we going to hang on to? You need to get somebody who's consistent in their theology, consistent in their teaching, and when they are consistent, you'll determine that they're not false prophets, they are true prophets. Now, John's congregation should not have been surprised by all of this. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 13, we have a warning. It's quite a lengthy passage, 5 verses. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go up to other gods, and if he says, let us go up to other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. You shall serve him, and shall hold fast to him. That's Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. But I want you to listen to Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. Here's what it says. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Boy, that's harsh. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. You'll say, boy, that's okay. That's Old Testament. Let me give you a New Testament version of that in 2 Corinthians 11. We touched on this back a few months ago. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. That's been the motto of my life most of the time. Do bear with me, all right? Paul is saying, all right, pay attention. I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes, now this is New Testament, if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Paul says, people, if there's another gospel preached, if there's another Jesus proclaimed, if there is another highlight that you think is the greatest thing to come, don't go with it. Now, people, we have a champion. You are from God. You've overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Well, how is a question that came to my mind. That's a good one. How do we obtain this victory? How do we get it? Well, you get it by studying the Scripture. You get it by sitting under true teachers. And I'm going to say this right now. If I speak anything other than the Word of God, you call a meeting that day and fire me and ride me out on a rail. Don't tar and feather me, that hurts. But just send me on down the road. If I can miss up buttons and call the police and fire department, I could say something that I might have misunderstood or I might have said it wrong. My tongue gets in front of my eye tooth and I couldn't see what I was saying. So pay attention. Check me out. Test me. Are you trusting the greater spirit? Let me say this. Is the world strong? Well, yes. But you know, our God is infinitely stronger. Are our false prophets wise? They are. But our God is wiser. Is Satan great? Yes. But our God is infinitely greater. And this one who is infinitely stronger, wiser, and greater, listen, he lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. And you can understand what truth is. You can know truth if you'll answer the simple question, am I serving the correct Jesus? John Piper applies this truth like this. Do not take credit for your listening ear or your confessing heart or your correct view of Christ. Give credit to the Spirit who is in you. And secondly, when you're threatened by any deception of the evil one, any temptation or discouragement or anxiety or cowardice, remind yourself, he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. Almighty God abides in you. Trust him, for this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Let's look very quickly at verse 5. Are you listening to the right teachers? They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know? If I get up here and tell you that it's okay for you to have an affair because your wife or husband had an affair, you just need to equal it out. People, find the rail. if I get up here and tell you that it's okay for you not to tithe, not to give your love offerings to the church and pay what's due, find a rail. If I get up here and tell you that it's okay for you to be drunk sometime but not other times, find a rail. You hear me? There are some things that are morally and practically and clearly opposed to the Word of God. If I tell you that it's okay to go out and worship idols, or what idols could that be? Well, we have a race going on up at our hospital. Who can own the newest Tesla? The doctors got together and told our CEO they needed charging stations out there at the hospital. He said, how many? Oh, only a couple. We only need a couple. Only a couple of us are ever going to drive a Tesla. Brethren, you can walk out there and see 9 lined up. 9 of them. And they compete with each other. Pardon me. As they compete with each other, you have to pay attention. Is that the new trend? No. But there comes a time when we have to draw a contrast between those of the world. That's why I got a Honda hybrid, not a Tesla. I can go farther than they can. John draws a contrast between the world, the evil organized system controlled by the devil, verse 5, and those in verse 6 who are of God. He draws a contrast. They speak satanic sermons. They deliver demonic disclosures. And those who belong to that world system listen to and embrace that teaching. There's a different picture in verse 6. We have to listen to God. You know, there is a movement today called the Jesus Minus, or the Bible Minus theology. I can have Jesus as long as I am moralistic, as long as I am financially productive for my church. I may can even do without Jesus if I'm political and say the right things. There's no such thing as Jesus minus. There's no such thing as Bible minus. It raises a very important question. How can we listen to the apostles when they've been dead for 2,000 years? I don't know how you say this guy's name. He used to be a capital city. He may still be there. Theobot Anabawali. It's what? Say it again. Anyabile. Okay. Yeah. T.A. That's his name. This is through an unpublished sermon note at Southeastern University. Or Southeastern Seminary. Through a certain kind of preaching, the preaching that takes the apostles' words, explains their words, applies their words, that's the kind of preaching that enables us to listen to these teachers today. We call it expositional preaching because it exposes what the apostles have written and the meaning and application of their words. When you listen to the Word of God expositionally preached, you're listening to the apostles. And you're listening to God Himself. Exposition means you take the Scripture and you pull it apart and then you put it back together so we can understand it. To pull apart verses 1 through 6 of John 4 is this. Jesus is of God. Any other teaching is not. If we do not line our teaching up with the Son of God and the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God, we are not God's. We're not His. The Bible says He is God, but a lot of people wander away and deny His eternal deity. The Bible says He is sinless, but they wander away and say that there are myths and fables in the Bible, and He sinned at least once. The Bible says He's the only Savior, but these other teachers will wander away and say He's only a Savior. Only a Savior. The Bible says He died on the cross for our sin, but they will wander away and deny penal substitution, calling it cosmic child abuse, meaning if God allowed His Son to die on the cross, we ought to call Adult Protective Services on Him. Ah. The Bible says He rose from the dead bodily, but false teachers will say the disciples only imagined it. Finally, the Bible says He will judge us all, but they wander away and say God is love, and eventually all will be saved. Oh my, we're all going to heaven. Malarkey. Only those who give their lives to Jesus Christ, who on the day He was to be crucified, met with His disciples and told them that He was going to institute a new ordinance for the church. They didn't understand the church. It hadn't been formed. They didn't understand Him changing the Passover supper. But He did. And what He did was He took those disciples. Judas had already left. And He said to them, I want you to take this bread. I've blessed it. And as you eat this bread, as you take this moment, then remember, this is My body, which is given for you. And then He took that last cup, and He said, take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant. I want you to drink it because I'm not going to take it again until I take it with you in heaven. We're going to take the cup and the bread. Mike is going to help distribute. Let this be a time of reflection. Who are we trusting? Who are we believing? Who are we listening to? We listen to the one who died at the cross. We listen to the one who was buried and rose again from the dead. And we listen to the one who ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And we listen to the one who told us He is coming again. This is the Jesus we serve. This is the gospel we proclaim. This is the power of salvation, to know that we can enter in to the very love of Christ Himself. I've already got it. The Apostle Paul said, reflect. Lord, may I teach nothing but Your word. May I trust nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. And may I serve only Him. And may I take this bread as a symbol of the body Christ. Amen. from the very first moment in the garden when God had to make skins for Adam and Eve, there had to be shedding of blood. And the blood trail goes all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And right there at that supper, Jesus said, "Take the cup. This is my blood. It's a new covenant." This is a moment, disciples, when you commit to me. And Heavenly Father, your rich red royal blood was shed for us so that we would not have to do and pay the penalty of death. You did it for us. And Lord, right now as our hearts are turned toward you, we thank you for shedding the blood. And now, Father, we take this drink in remembrance of you. We have a trash can at the back. We're going to sing a hymn. And as we do, you feel free to greet one another. Amazing Grace.